Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Petet. Today's daf is being dedicated in memory of Yosef Ben Simcha Sheneftar B'Kitzur Yamim V'Shanim by his brother, Mr. Jerry Harari, and family. Today's daf is being studied by Nishmat Hacham Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam, and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Pehet Amud Bet. And we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines from the bottom. Actually, it's a little more than that. That's where we plan to finish, but we are a little higher than that. We are going to start Ve'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi. That's 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21 lines from the bottom. Okay? Actually, it'll make it easier for you from when they get wide. It's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from where they get wide. Ve'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi taught, my dichtiv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Lehayav ka'arugat habosem. The hayav literally means the cheeks. Ka'arugat habosem is like a bed of besamim, of fragrance. So the Gemara says on this pasuk, kol dibur v'dibur shiyatza mepi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every word that came out of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mouth at the time of the Aser Deberot, nitmale kol ha'olam kulo besamim. The entire world became filled with a fragrant, a good smell. So the Gemara says, the whole world, v'chev ha'chim dibur rishon nitmale. Once you tell me that after the first word, the whole entire world was filled, dibur sheni, le'echad halach. So then where did the besamim of the second word that came out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth go to? So the Gemara says, Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu haruach me'otzrotav. God brought out a special wind from his treasure, v'haya ma'avir rishon rishon, and that consistently blew away the first fragrant in order to make room for the second. And subsequently this pattern repeated itself. Shnei Emar, as the Pasuk says, Siftotav Shoshanim Notefot Mor Over. So the Gemara makes a derasha on this Pasuk in Shir HaShirim and says, Al tikre Shoshanim, don't read it Shoshanim, which means roses, Ela Sheshonim, which means Siftotav, when God's lips were uttering the words Sheshonim, there was a repetition of what? Notfot Mor Over, of a constant flow of wind that she says Mor Over Al She'aviran, meaning the more the smell of Besamim was Over, it passed, meaning a wind came, blew the first Besamim away, and then the second came in its place. Hence She'shonim, that was repetitive. Now she also tells us that where did this fragrance go to? When this wind, where did it blow the fragrance that was in the world? As she says, the Gan Eden, that eventually ended in Gan Eden. Comes the Gemara and says, and the Mefarshim do explain that one of the reasons why the world did fill up with Besamim, this was more like smelling salts. Because since Am Yisrael were almost traumatized by the drama of Matan Torah, so they needed to have some smell and aroma in order to keep them from passing out. So therefore, Borei Olam made the world constantly fill with this aroma. Comes the Gemara and says, "V'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi, kol dibur v'dibur shiyatza mepi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every word that came out of the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu yatzta nishmatan shel Yisrael." The Jewish people actually, they died. Their neshama left them. Shnei Emar, Nafshi Yatzea B'Dabbero. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim that my soul came out when God was speaking. So the Gemara says, U'me'achar Shemidibur Rishon Yatzah Nishmatan Dibur Sheni He'ach Kiblu, which means if you're telling me that every single Dibur caused the Neshama to leave them after they died, after the first Dibur, so how were they around to die again at the second Dibur? So the Gemara says, Well, how did they hear the second dibur? She says they were dead. So Gemara says, "Hori tal shati lahayot bo metim." Borei Olam brought down a certain dew that is going to be used in order to resurrect the dead. Vehayotam, and he resurrected them. So between each dibur, there was a certain rain or a certain mist, and that brought them back to life. And then it repeated itself again. Shnei Amar, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Geshem nedavot tanif Elohim, which means a geshem, a generous geshem, Borei Olam passed over the people. Nahalatecha v'nil'a ata konanta, which means when God's nahala, when God's heritage nil'a, so to speak, became weary, which means when they became tired. So God brought down Geshem Nedavot at the time that his Nahala became weary in order to sustain them. Ve'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, kol dibur v'dibur shiatzah b'pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hazru Yisrael la'achorehen yud bet mil. The Gemara says that every word that came out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth during the Matan Torah, the Jewish people were so startled that they were kicked back, or they moved back 12 mil behind them. V'ayu malachei asharet medadidin otan. And then the angels had to come and help them in order to bring them slowly back to the mountain, because they were weak, like a lady that holds on to a child's hand, and as the child totters to walk. So it says that the malachim, so to speak, had to hold on to Bnei Yisrael to bring them back to the mountain. Shnei Emar, as the pasuk says, malche sevavot sevaot yedodun yedodun. Pasuk says in Tehillim, and I'm reading the pasuk, it's a text error, it should read malche sevaot, but we're reading it like the angels of the heavens, yedodun yedodun, which literally means they were tottering. But the Gemara says, don't read it, al tikre yedodun ila yedadun, which means they caused others to totter, which means they actually supported Bnei Israel to bring them towards the mountain. So the Maharsha just points out over here, it seems three different things happened at Matan Torah. Number one, the world was filled with besamim. Number two, people died after every dibur. And number three, they were pushed back yudmil. Now, these three things seem to contradict each other, which means if they died, so then they're not going back 12 mil. And if they're dead, there's no purpose for the besamim to fill up the entire world if they're dead. So the Maharsha points out, different things happen to different people, depending on what level they were on. And therefore, some people, they just needed the smelling salts of the besamim to revive them. Others actually died and they needed the dew of Tehiyat HaMetim to revive them. And others were startled back 12 mil behind themselves, and they needed the malachim to bring them back. No, it was just different classes of people, depending on whatever level they were on. These three things happened. It doesn't mean it happened to everybody. Comes the Gemara and says, "V'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, b'sha'a she'ala Moshe l'marom." When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens to bring down the Torah, "Amru malachei asharet tefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." So the angels came in front of Hakadosh Baruch Hu and said, "Rebono shel olam, ma lilod isha benenu? What is this mortal human being born from a lady doing amongst us?" Amar lahen, God answered the angels, "Lekabel Torah ba." He came to receive the Torah. Amru lefanav, so the angels contested and said, "Hamuda genuza, such a precious treasure that's been ganuz, that's been hidden for so many years, shegenuza lecha, that's been treasured to you and hidden, tesha meot v'shivrim v'arba'a dorot kodem shenivra olam, that's been in the treasure for 974 generations before the creation of the world. Atam evakesh etna lebasar v'adam. You want to give this chamdag and uzah, this prized treasure, to mortal flesh and blood? Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. What is man worth? Ki tizker, that he should be remembered in such a way. Uben adam ki tifkerenu. And an adam, a human being, that he should be remembered again in such a way. Hashem Adonenu, the angels told God, God the Master, Ma'adir Shemcha b'chol ha'aretz, while your name is exalted over the earth. Asher tena hodecha al ha'shamayim, but you should place your splendor over the heavens. Meaning the Torah belongs in the heavens. The splendor of Torah does not belong on earth with mortal human beings. Now, one of the things the angels told God was that the Torah was already prepared 974 generations before the creation of the world. And so that she explains that that really wasn't so accurate in the sense that that was the original plan. The original plan was that God wanted to give the Torah after 1,000 generations. But when he saw that the world will not be able to exist so long without Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sped up the process, so to speak, and he gave the Torah after 26 generations, which means from Adam HaRishon to Moshe Rabbeinu is indeed 26 generations. From Adam to Noah is 10, from Noah to Abraham is 10, from Abraham to Moshe is 6. That's the 26 generations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited to give the Torah. So the balance would be 974 generations. So the Malachim said in front of Borei Olam, a Torah that was destined to be hidden for 974 more generations, so to speak, which means it's a very precious Hamdagin Uzzah. You're going to give this to mortal human beings. Let's read that Rashi together. Rashi says, Tatka'ad Dorot. That's the bottom, towards the bottom, that Rashi. The Hagaot HaBach comes along and says, okay, just gives us another source. Rashi says, Be'alpayim Shana Shekadma Torah Le'olam, which means the 2,000 years that the world existed before the Torah was given. The Torah was given in the year 2448. So in those 2,000 years, Hayu atidin dorot alalu nehibbareot, which means these generations were all supposed to be born. Shne'emar davar siva le'elef dor, which means really the Torah was supposed to be given after elef dor. V'ra'a kadosh baruch hu shen ha'olam mitkayem belo Torah. However, God saw that the world would not be able to exist for that long without Torah. So God passed over all those generations and did not create all those people. So He gave it after the 26 generations. Which means we're missing 974 generations from the Elif. And God said, in the Gemara HaKigah says that God took from all those people that was supposed to be born in those generations, and he planted some of them in every generation, and those are the tzaddikim of every generation. Those are the missing people that were supposed to be born prior to Matan Torah. In any event, the angels were claiming that Torah should stay in heaven. The Gemara says, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to Moshe and says, Ha'azir lahem teshuvah. Okay, Moshe, answer them. אמר לפניו ריבונו של עולם מתיירא אני שמא ישרפוני באבל שבפיהם. I'm worried that they might burn me with the wind or the air that comes from their mouth or consume me. אמר לו הקדוש ברוך הוא said, אחוז בכיסא כבוד וחזור להן תשובה. Hold on to my chair, hold on to the chair of glory, and give them an answer. Actually, some of the Mefarshim say that that was the answer. God was telling Moshe, the fact that a human being is able to hold on to the Kiseh HaKavod, that shows that they indeed are worthy for the Torah. So that a human being is able to elevate himself to such heights. So Adrabah, when the angels see that you have the ability to hold on to my Kiseh HaKavod, that is the Teshuvah itself. In any event, the Gemara proves this from a Pasuk Shne'emar. The Gemara quotes a Pasuk. The Pasuk is actually in Iyov. It says, Me'ahez pene kiseh, the one that held on to the chair, Parshez alav anano. What does it mean, Parshez? So the Gemara explains this Pasuk literally means Parshez alav, God spread over Moshe his cloud, meaning his countenance. V'amar Rav Nachum melamed shepires Shaddai miziv shechinato v'anano alav. God spread over Moshe
his glory and his light and his cloud over him. Hence the word Parshez is actually a acronym. It stands for Pires Shaddai Miziv. Parshez, which means God spread. Pires Shaddai, God spread Miziv from his glory or his light over Moshe, meaning to protect him. Amadifanav. So Moshe Rabbeinu responded and said, Rebono shel olam, Torah she'ata noteni maketiva, the Torah that is written, that you are going to give us. What is written in the Torah? And Moshe continued, and he's actually now talking to the angels. Anochi Hashem Elohecha asher hotzitika me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the God that took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim from Egypt. Amar lahem, so Moshe tells the angels, Lemisraim yaratem, did you ever go down to Egypt? Lefaro ishtahbatem, did you ever work for Paro? Torah lamateh lachem. Torah doesn't apply to you. Torah applies only to those people that were down in Egypt. So Gemara says, shuv. Furthermore, he went and said, Maketiva lo yeye lecha Elohim acherim. Which means you're not allowed to have any other gods. Which means you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, you're not to have foreign gods. So the Gemara says, Ben Arelim, that's one Girsa, Atem Shiruin Shavdim Avodah Zarah, do you live amongst the heathens of the world that it's possible for you to worship Avodah Zarah? There is no Avodah Zarah in heaven. So therefore the Torah is not applicable to you. Shuv maketiv ba'zachor et yom ha'shabbat lekadesho. You have to remember the Shabbat. Klum atem osim melacha she'atem tzarichim shevot. Do you work 6 days that you have to rest on the seventh day? Shuv maketiv ba'. Furthermore, what does it say? Lo tisa. You're not allowed to swear in God's name falsely, which is usually done in a business transaction, that a person is denying something. So the Gemara says, Masau matan yesh binachem? Do you have business transactions amongst you that one angel has to make a swear to somebody else? Shuv maketiva, kabed et abicha ve'et imecha. You have to honor your father and your mother. Avaem yesh lachem? Do you have parents? Shuv maketiva, lo tersach. Don't murder. Lo tenaf, don't commit adultery. Lo tignov, don't steal. Can I yesh bachem? Is there jealousy amongst you that can lead you to come and murder? Yetzarai yesh binechem? Do you have an evil inclination that can lead you to those other sins as well? Miyad hoduno lakadosh baruch hu. At that point, the angels acquiesced. Since Moshe Rabbeinu won the argument, and they agreed to lakadosh baruch hu, as the pasuk says, Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shemcha Bechol Ha'aretz. The angels then said another pasuk, God, your glory and greatness is on the land. Ve'ilu Tenahu Necha L'Shamayim Lo Ketiv. And in this pasuk it does not say that they asked for God's glory to be placed in heaven, which means they agreed that the glory of God should be placed on earth, meaning the Torah is deserving to human beings. Miyad, immediately, kol echad ve'echad na'aseh lo ohev. Immediately, all the angels went from becoming the antagonists of Moshe to becoming his friend. Which means, this shows us the nature of the argument. When people argue l'shem shamayim, how do we tell if the argument was l'shem shamayim or not? When the argument is over, are they still friends? And therefore, the Gemara tells us that after the argument was over, even though Moshe Rabbeinu defeated the angels, but they were friendly with him. They still loved him. And to show their love, Umasar lo davar. It says, and all the angels gave Moshe Rabbeinu gifts. The Mefarshim explained, because, that she writes, Masar lo lamdo, which means they gave him a teaching. They taught him different things, secrets. Each angel taught Moshe another secret. Mefashim would say, why? Because they needed to appease him.
because they called Moshe Rabbeinu Ma Adam Ki Tizkerenu. They referred to Moshe Rabbeinu as a mere Adam, which is a derogatory term. Moshe Rabbeinu comes from the Adama, meaning he's an earthling, and therefore to appease him for the words that they used about him, so they decided to give him gifts. So it says, how do we know? Shne'emar Alita Lamarom Shavita Shevi. You went up to the heavens, Shavita Shevi, you took the captive, which was in captivity, which is referring to the Torah, that was being held captive by the angels. Lakachta matanot, you took gifts, ba'adam, which means because they called you Adam, so therefore you ended up having to take gifts in order to be appeased. Bishar shikena'ucha Adam, the reward that they called you Adam, lakachta matanot, you therefore were allowed to take gifts from them, that they can appease you. The Gemara says, "Af manachamavet masar lo davar." Well, since all the angels were giving out gifts, even the angel of death gave Moshe Rabbeinu a gift as well. Shnei emar vayiten et haketoret vaychaper al ha'am. If you remember, in Parashat Korach, after all the enemies of Moshe were swallowed in the ground, the Jewish people had claims against Moshe and said to Moshe and Aaron, actually, Atem amitem et am Hashem, you caused the death of the nation of God. They blamed it on Moshe and Aaron, and as a result, a plague ensued, and there were many Jews that were dying. And Aaron wanted to stop the plague, and Moshe told them to take the ketoret, take the incense, the spices, and bring it. And sure enough, it says Aaron went and brought the ketoret, ve'omer, ve'yamod ben ha-metim u'ben ha-chayim. Now he was able to stand between the living and the dead, which means now there were those that were living. Which means the plague, v'ta'atzara magefat, says the plague actually came to a screeching halt. So the Gemara said, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know this secret to take the ketoret to stop the plague? Ilav de'amar le mi'avayada. Unless somebody told him, how would he have known? And therefore must be the Malach HaMavet, who's in charge of death. He told Moshe, if you want to stop me from killing people, just bring the ketoret, and that'll ward me away. So therefore even the Malach HaMavet gave Moshe Rabbeinu gifts. If you look at the third line in Nashi, Masar lo sodo, laktir mahtot ketoret v'sha'at magefa, ולעמוד בין המתים ובין החיים. Now, it should be pointed out that the poskim do bring down that, well, today we don't have the official ketoret, but we do have parashat ketoret. We do have the pesukim in the Torah that discuss the bringing of the ketoret. And it is brought down, the Kaf HaChaim brings down in the halakha, that God forbid if there's a plague in the town or there's tragedy and bad things occurring, a segula would be to read the ketoret. And therefore, we still have this segula, how to push away the satan from our midst. It seems he is allergic to the ketoret, and this is by his own admission. And therefore, we should be careful in reciting the ketoret as well. Just one idea on this Gemara that we just read, to put it in some sort of perspective. The Gemara said that the angels claimed that the Torah should remain in heaven. And God told Moshe, answer them. And Moshe Rabbeinu seemingly gives a very obvious reason why the Torah must be given to human beings. Did the angels think that they have parents? They know they don't have parents. What were the angels thinking, that how could they have the Torah in heaven, when it says, Kaved et abicha ve et imecha? I mean, the argument of Moshe seems very elementary. We should assume that an angel should know that argument. So I saw from some of the Balim Musad, they explained the Gemara like this. What the angels wanted was not that they're going to fulfill the Torah. They knew that a lot of the mitzvot in the Torah have no application. But they wanted to be the teachers of Torah, which means they wanted the ones to go down, and they were going to administer the Torah to Am Yisrael. They felt that only an angel can teach this holy book, this Chemdah Genuzah. Only an angel can truly fathom its principles. Moshe Rabbeinu was answering, we have a problem.
malachim. And at the time that he was explaining them the problem, he was teaching us a very important educational principle. He was saying, Malachim, how could you teach people about Kibud Av Va'em if you yourself do not fulfill Kibud Av Va'em? To be a teacher, you have to follow what you teach. You have to be Omer Ve'oseh. It's not enough for you to teach about Shemirat Shabbat. If you yourself are not Shomer Shabbat, so already the Limud is compromised. Already it's not a complete teaching. And that's what the argument was. Who should be the teachers of Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu said, only human beings that are shayach to the asiyah of the Torah, they can be the ones that are melamed Torah. But a malach, as smart as he is, it's going to compromise the teaching. Because if a student sees his teacher not practice, so that already will cause the student not to practice as well. And maybe with this we can explain a famous Gemara in Masechet Nidah that says that the Malach teaches the child in the womb the entire Torah. Which means the child, when it's in the womb for 9 months, is learning. Meaning the Malachim did get their chance to teach Torah. But they got to teach Torah in the womb. But what happens to every child when it comes out? Inevitably every child forgets. And maybe we could say the reason why such Torah is forgotten, because such Torah has no value or has little value. When it's taught by a teacher that cannot practice, so this Torah must be forgotten. Only Torah that's taught by those that actually fulfill what they're saying, this has meaning and this has kiyum. And therefore, the child is learning in the womb. Since the teacher is lacking the ability to follow, so therefore he must learn it over again from human being teachers. And that was the debate between Moshe and the Malachim. Comes the Gemara and says, V'amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, b'sha'ash yarad Moshe b'nefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe Rabbeinu went down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, down back to earth, Ba Satan ve'amar defanab. So the Satan came back to God and said, Bono shel olam, Torah hechan hi? Where is the Torah? Where did you give the Torah? Where is it now? Amar lo netati al aris. So what do you want? I gave it down to the earth. Halach etzel aris. So the Satan went to the land. The Mefashim explained he went to the Malach that's in charge of the land. Amar la Torah hechani, and he asked the earth, the Malach, where's the Torah? Amra lo, so the earth said, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Iyov, Elohim evin darka, God knows where it is, v'hu yadat mekoma, and he knows its place. Meaning the earth said, we don't know, the Torah is not by us. Halach etzel yam. So the Satan, in search for the Torah, he went to the ocean. The Amar lo, and the ocean said, En imadi, it's not by me. Halach etzel tohom. So he went to the depths of the earth. Amar le, en bi, it's not by me. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, and I quote the Pasuk in Iyov, Tehom Amar lo, bihi, Ve'yam amar en amadi, which means they both said, it's not by me. Abadon umavet. He went to Abadon. He went to destruction and death. Meaning he went to Gehinam to see if maybe the Torah is hiding over there. So the Gemara says, Amru be'oznenu shamarnu, which means we heard about the Torah being given. Shama'a, which means... Huh?
That's the Pasuk, Shama'a.
Right, which means we heard that the Torah was given, but we don't know where it is. Hazar v'amar lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, the Gemara says, he went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, the Satan's talking, now, Ribono shel Olam, heipasti b'chol ha'aretz. I searched the whole world, v'lo misatia. Amar lo, lech etzel ben Amram. Go to Ben Amram, the son of Amram. Halach etzel Moshe, so he went to Moshe. Amar lo, Torah shenatan lecha kadosh baruch hu, hechan hi?
Where's this Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you? Amar lo, so Moshe says, V'chi ma'ani shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah? Who am I? You think I'm worthy to receive the Torah? So Moshe denied it. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So God intervened and tells Moshe, Moshe, badai ata. Moshe, you're lying. Amar lefanav Rebono shel Olam. Moshe says to God, Hamuda genuza yesh techa sheata mishtachshei haba bechol yom. This is such a precious Hamdah Genuzah that God, you yourself learn it every day. You play with it, you toy with it every day. Ani hazik tova l'atzmi? I should give myself credit that I'm worthy to have such a Torah. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le-Moshe, ho'ilu mi'atta atzmecha? Because you minimized yourself and you humbled yourself by saying that you're not worthy? Tikra al shimcha. The Torah is going to be named after you, Shneimar, Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi, which is the Torah is called Torat Moshe. Now again, this Gemara also needs just basic understanding. Obviously there's Sodes, Sodot, there's a lot of depth over here. First and foremost, we see how much we can trust the Satan. You know, just a moment ago, the Satan was giving Moshe Rabbeinu gifts in Shamayim. And now, right when the Torah was given, he's back to his old shenanigans. He's back to his old tricks, trying now to find out where the Torah is. The truth of the matter is, that's what the Satan is all about. Which means, in the Shamayim, he agreed that the Torah belongs on earth. But he didn't agree to retire. He didn't agree that he's not going to, you know, give the Bnei Yisrael, take away their take away their challenge. And therefore, once he let the Torah go down to earth, so they went back to work, and the Satan went back to work as well. So he came along and asked God, where's this Torah? So what the Satan was really asking is, we know the Torah only can rest in a place that's very humble and modest. So, Borei Olam gave Moshe, gave the Satan a general answer, somewhere on the earth. So the Satan looked for the lowest places on earth. So first he looked at the earth itself. Compared to the heavens, the earth is very low. But the earth said, no, it's not by me. So he went even deeper. He went to the oceans. The oceans is deeper. It's not by me. He went to the depths of the earth, which is even deeper. It's not by me. Until Borei Olam showed him that the most humble area on the entire earth is actually Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the most humble of men. And that's where the Torah is found. So Satan came to Moshe and said, Moshe, do you have the Torah? What the Satan was saying is, Moshe, do you really think you as a human being can understand the depths and the Sodes Sodot of the Torah? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, impossible. No human being can understand truly the depths of the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's not so, Moshe. You're being humble. Even you, a human being, as great as the Torah is and as infinite as it is, you can understand its depths. But because you humbled yourself, God was saying, you held on to the Kisei HaKavod. All the more so you can understand the Torah. You have that power. And therefore God said, because you humbled yourself, you're able now to have the zikhut that Torah will be called by you. But it's important to make one diyuk in the Gemara. God tells the Satan, go to Ben Amram. He refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as the son of Amram. God was telling the Satan, remember who his father is. His father is Amram. Amram was one of the four men that died without sin. And therefore the Satan really had no hold on Amram. So God was saying, yeah, this is a son of Amram. But if you look at, and therefore, go to him, you don't have a shot against him. And therefore, when the Satan comes to Moshe, he doesn't refer to him as Ben Amram. He says, Moshe, where's the Torah? Satan says, I don't believe that. Just because your father was a Sadiq does not mean that you have the same qualities. And therefore the Satan came to try to get Moshe. In any event, Moshe remained humble and said, who am I to understand the depths of Torah? God said, that's not so. But he understood that he was saying that in humility, and therefore gave him the zichut that the Torah will be called after him. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ramah Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Yoshua, and he said, "Bishah shala Moshe lemarom." We go back. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Shamayim, Matzahol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaya Kosher Ketarim Lo'otiyot. Borei Olam was actually placing crowns on the letters of the Torah. This is referring to, as Rashi says, the Tagim. And we know that on seven letters, the letters Sha'apnez gets Shin, Ayin, Tet, Nun, Zayin, Gimal, Tzaddi. Sha'apnez gets, those letters all have crowns, three like hairs that come from the right side, the left side, and one in the middle, the center of these letters, as Rashi tells us. Now, these tagim obviously have mystical reasons why they're placed on the letters. So God was actually crowning the letters. So it says, Amar lo Moshe, God says to Moshe, En shalom b'idcha. What, they don't say shalom where you come from in your city? Which means what? You don't give me a shalom aleichem, as if God's telling Moshe what? They don't know how to say shalom? It seems Moshe Rabbeinu did not greet God when he was making the crowns on the letters. So God says what? They don't say shalom where you come from in your city? Amad efanav, klum yesh evet shenoten shalom l'rabo? Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's an evet, there's a servant, you know, say shalom to his master, meaning we don't have a right to tell you shalom. Amaleh, so God says, fine, hayalecha le'ozreni. Alright, but you should have helped me at least. So it says, miyad, amaleh, so God, Moshe tells God, ve'ata yigdana koach Hashem kasher dibarta. May your strength become great. Now again, this conversation also needs to be understood. Again, like I said, these are the deepest gemariot over here, conversations that took place between God and Moshe. In any event, the Mefarshim explain it that, as we explained, these letters over here refer to the Tagim. The Tagim have in them the real depths of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw God making these Tagim, so he said, this is beyond me. This is beyond, there's no way that a human being is going to be able to perceive what these Tagim represent. So Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, he gave up that he cannot understand these things. So God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, En shalom b'idcha. Meaning, what, you don't think you could reach Shelemut? That was saying, you're not talking about a greeting. Well, you don't think Moshe Rabbeinu, with application, you cannot reach perfection to even understand the Tagim? So Moshe Rabbeinu says back in humility, is it possible for an Eved to understand the Shelemut of his master? Which means, how is it possible? How is it possible for a mortal human being to truly understand the sod, the real secrets of the Torah? So Borei Olam says, fine, but at least you should help me. So the Maharsha says, Pirush leitpalel shiyiten ezer la'amo Yisrael limshol biyitzram lekayem haTorah. Meaning, at least you should pray for Am Yisrael that they'll be able to fulfill this Torah and that the Yetzer Hara won't get the best of them. That's helping God. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, fine, v'ata yigdana koach Hashem, which means the strength of God should become greater. The strength of God, so to speak, becomes great when Am Yisrael is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God to pray for the people. Comes the Gemara and says, further, ve'amar Yoshua Menevi, my dichtiv, what does it mean in the Pasuk when it says, v'yara'am, Kiboshesh Moshe. This is talking about after Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days and 40 nights. Right? He went up on the 7th of Sivan and he came down on Shavah Asar B'Tammuz. That's when he saw the Egel HaZahav and he threw the tablets down. On that day, when they thought in their miscalculation that Moshe Rabbeinu should have come back, it says, Vayara'am Kiboshesh Moshe. Literally that Moshe was delayed. So Amar, he said, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Al tikre boshesh, don't read the word boshesh, that Moshe was delayed, Ela ba'ushesh, read it as if they were saying, the sixth hour has come, and Moshe is not here. So the Gemara says, B'sha'a she'ala Moshe l'marom, before Moshe went up to heaven, Amar lehem Yisrael, Lesof arba'im yom, I am returning after 40 days, b'tchilat shesh aniba, in the beginning of the sixth hour, which means I'm going to come back midday on the 40th day. So he gave him the exact time of his arrival. Lesof mem yom, after 40 days, again, according to their miscalculation, because they counted the day that he left, which was a mistake because it wasn't a full day. Because he left during the morning and the night was not included. Moshe Rabbeinu meant 40 periods of night and day. And therefore they were actually 12 hours off. And therefore they came on the 40th day according to their calculations again. And what did they say? They came along and said, Bashesh, the 6th hour is here, Moshe is not around. So the Gemara says, what happened? Ba Satan. Now Satan saw a ripe situation in order to take advantage and confuse Klal Yisrael. He brought confusion to the world. Amar Lahen, he tells the people, Moshe Rabbechen, Echanu, Moshe your rabbi, where is he? All of a sudden the Satan holds Moshe Rabbeinu as a rabbi. Before, when he was talking to him, he refers to him just as Moshe. But now, in order to entice Bnei Yisrael, even the Satan would be willing to call Moshe, Moshe Rabbechem. In any event, Amru lo ala lamarom. Well, he went up to the heavens. Amar lahem, so the Satan tells Bnei Yisrael, Ba'u shesh. What do you mean? Ba'u shesh, the 6th hour is here. He didn't come back yet. They paid no attention to him. Met. They said Moshe, the Satan said Moshe is dead. They didn't pay any attention to him. Until they showed, the Satan showed Bnei Israel a false image of Moshe Rabbeinu's coffin over the mountain, giving them the impression that he indeed died. Now we understand what the people told Aaron before they worshipped the Egel. Now whenever you say Zeh, that means they were pointing to something. So they were actually pointing to the coffin of Moshe that they saw on top of the mountain. They said, we don't know where he is. And therefore it seems that Satan was up to his games. Now let's read Rashi for a second. Ba Satan. Hu Yetzer Hara. Satan also acts as the evil inclination. And that she gives us a job description of the Yetzer Hara. Hamahati ta Adam. His job is to cause people to sin. Hu Aoleu Mastin Vaomer de Humidat Adin Enagun. No. Vaomer Humidat Adin Enagun Bainai. Now she doesn't like the opinion that says we're talking about the strict justice over here of God. No, the Malach HaMavid is the Koach of the Yetzer Hara, as we said. That's the Satan, that's the Malach HaMavid. He's actually three people. Kesha'ala Moshe. Now, Lehar, Amar Lahem, I'm reading Rashi, Lesof Mem Yom Aniba, Betok Shesh Sha'ot, within the first 6 hours of the day. Ve'em Sivurim Sho'oto Yom Sha'ala Bo Min HaMinyan. They thought that the day he went up is part of the count. Ve'u Amar Lehem Mem Yom Shelemim Yom V'alai La'imo. He meant actually complete days. Day-night periods. V'yom aliyato en lelo aimo. But the day that he went up, the night wasn't with it. Share b'zayin b'sivan ala. During the day. Nimsa yom mem b'yaz b'tamuz. Comes out the 40th day really was on Shiva'asa b'tamuz. Haya b'yud vav bas satan v'arbe b'ta'olam. On the 16th of Tamuz, that's when the Satan came a day early and created havoc in the world. That she tells us it was a very dark day, a very gloomy day. Demut anan va'arafel, thick clouds ve'erbumia, confusion. Lomar, so that gave the impression to the people v'adai mit Moshe. Share ba'u kevar shesh ve'loba. Ve'i efshar lomar shelo ta'u ela b'yom ha'me'unan ben kodem chasot na'ar chasot. Share lo yarad Moshe ajom ha'machorat. Which means Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't show up until the next day. So therefore they couldn't say, yeah, maybe we're off on the calendar, maybe we're making a mistake, which means he didn't show up for a long time. They were off by a day really, which means they were off. So therefore the Satan was able to truly take advantage. Now the only question that the Baalei Musar discuss, one of the questions I should say, they discuss on this, how is it possible? How is it possible for Am Yisrael to fall so fast? Which means here, 40 days before that, they were standing at the foot of Sinai and they heard God Himself say, Anuchi Hashem Elohecha. And now all of a sudden, in 40 days, they're able to drop to the lowest level to worship Avodah Zarah. How is it possible? Which means even the Yetzer Hara works by certain rules. The Gemara says in another place that the Yetzer Hara's normal derech is Hayom Omer Lo Asekach Umahar Omer Lo LeAdam Asekach Ad SheOmer Lo Avod Avodah Zarah. It seems that the Yetzer Hara works in a very slow progression. He knows that he can't just tell the person one day, go worship idols. You'll reject him. So he slowly chips away, he works on it, which means the Yetzer Hara is very patient. And therefore, if it takes him 50 years to break the guy's resistance, he'll do so. Here, it happened immediately. Satan was able to come in an instant, and all of a sudden, Am Yisrael found themselves worshiping Egel HaZahav. The famous Siha from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that's Zichron Levracha, the Mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva, which is worthy to note, that he says that here the issue was the Satan succeeded at putting Am Yisrael in a depressed state, in a depression. And by showing them the coffin of Moshe, by making it dark, by creating confusion. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is a very important yesod. Once a person finds himself in a depressed state, so what takes the Satan normally 50 years to accomplish, he can accomplish it immediately. And that comes out one of the biggest weapons of the Satan. Once he can alter the state of a human being where he becomes melancholy and he becomes sad, now already he's not rational anymore. Now already he starts to do things beyond the normal comprehension and logic. And that's what the Satan succeeded on that day. He was able to work so fast because he showed them a sudden death. All of a sudden they see a sudden death. They weren't ready for it. They were all assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back. And now the furthest thing from their mind, Moshe is not coming back. And now the shock led them to such a sadness, which brought on a massive depression, and then in that state, they were vulnerable to anything. And that's a tremendous Musar the Gemara is telling us, how over and upon of everything, we have to keep our emotional state b'simcha. But so long as we're b'simcha, the Satan is limited in his damage. Which means he can't affect us on the full scale level. You know, he has to work according to his regular rules. That's what the Torah tells us, that after all the kelalot, the biggest avon is tahat asher lo avata et Hashem b'simcha. That's why the end of the kelalot, the worst avon is when Am Yisrael does not have the positive and good attitude. Comes the Gemara and says, the Gemara continues, Amar le'omer Rabbanan Rav Kahana. We finish with the statements of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi. It says there was a certain rabbi, a certain student, that came to Rav Kahana and said, Misha mi alach mai har Sinai? Did you ever hear a good reason why they call the mountain Har Sinai? Where did they get that name from? Amar le, so he said, Har shena'asu bo nisim li'Yisrael. Yeah, Sinai is like Nes, because it was the mountain that many miracles happened to Am Yisrael. Then Gemara says, that's not it. Har Nisai Mivayne. If that was the reason, that it should be called not Sinai, but Nisai, after miracles. Ela Har Shena Asa Siman Tov Yisrael. It's the mountain where good things happened to Klai Yisrael. Siman Tov was a good omen. Gemara says, no, that's not it. Har Simanai Mivayne. If it was the mountain of good omen, it should have been called Har Simanai, meaning from Nashon Siman. So the Gemara says, Amar Le, so he told them, Mai Tama Lo Shechihat Kame De Rab Papa Ve Rab Huna Bered Rab Yehoshua De Ma'ayne Be Agata. which means the rabbi was telling Rav Kana, did he hear anything? And Rav Kana was giving him different answers. He said, no, that's not the answer. He said, no, you should frequent the shi'ur. The rabbi is telling Rav Kana this. You should frequent the shi'ur of Rav Papa and Rav Huna, because they learn Agata very good. You know, they're very good at the Agata. They study it good. And if you went to the shi'ur, you would have heard a sound reason why it's called Sinai. Which means it's called Sinai Melashon Sinai, hatred. On that day, hatred was brought down to the Goyim, meaning God became a sone. God became one that hated the Goyim because they refused to receive the Torah. As we learned that the Gemara says in a different place that they got right of first refusal, and they refused to receive the Torah, and therefore they opted Avodah Zarah, and therefore Har Sinai, that was the day that God was filled with Sin'ah against the Goyim. Others explain that on that day was the roots of anti-Semitism. That's the day that the Sin'ah of the Goyim became against us. It's because they came jealous that we had the ability to receive the Torah, and therefore the roots of anti-Semitism find itself at Sinai. Comes the Gemara and says, "V'ha'inu damar b'yosef b'Rav Hanina, heh shemot yeshlo." Gemara tells us that Har Sinai actually has five different names. Midbar Sin, right? One of the names is called the Midbar Sin. Why? Shenitztavu Yisrael alav. Sin melashon tzivui, meaning the people were commanded the law at Midbar Sin. Midbar Kadesh was also called the Midbar of Kadesh. Shenit Kadeshu Yisrael alav, because the Jewish people became sanctified there. Midbar Kedemot, it's also called Midbar Kedemot. Shinnatna Keduma Alav, because they received the Torah that was predated, meaning the Torah that was written in Shamayim years before they received the predated law. Midbar Paran, it's also called Paran. Why? Sheparu Veravu Aleh, because it was at that place that the Jewish people were fruitful and multiplied, hence Paran. Where were they fruitful and multiplied? If you remember, we learned that after Matan Torah, God told Bnei Israel, Shuvu laholechem, go back to your tents. And it says what that meant was that they go back to be with their wives. And the Gemara says that every Jewish lady that night conceived, and subsequently they all gave birth to baby boys. So therefore, the Gemara says the reason why they called it Midbar Paran is because at that spot, Paru Viravu, they were fruitful and they multiplied. Midbar Sinai, why was it called Midbar Sinai? Sheyarda Sina Le'akum Alav, as we learned, because the hatred came upon the Goyim that day, meaning God had a Sina for the Goyim, and as well the Goyim had a Sina for the Jews. Hence, Midbar Sinai. Umashemo, but what's the real name of the mountain? Horeb Shemo. The real name is Har Horev. Ufliga de Ravabu. So argues on Ravabu. The Amar Ravabu Har Sinai Shemo. He says, no, the real name is Sinai. Velama nekra Har Horev. Why is it called Horev? Shiarda Chorba le'akum alav. Because destruction fell upon the Goyim that day. Because now that they did not accept the Torah, they became subject to punishment. Hence, Horev, that was the day that the Goyim became, so to speak, destroyed. Now we go back to our Mishnah. One of the things we learned in the Mishnah was that on Yom Kippur, they used to tie a red string on the sa'ir, on the goat that they used to throw down the mountain of Azazel. And they used to hang part of that string on a rock. And when the mountain, when the animal fell down the mountain, so the string on top of the mountain would miraculously turn white to indicate that Am Yisrael was forgiven from their sins. The Gemara brought a pasuk to substantiate this. Pasuk in Yeshaya that said, "Im yiyu hata'achem kashanim," if your sins will be red like red wool, "kashele galbinu," they will become white and like snow. So comes the Gemara and says, Kashanim, Kashanim mivayele. The pasuk says, Im yiyu hata'achem kashanim, like red wools. It's plural. It should say kashani. If your sins will be like the color of red wool, why is it written in plurality? Especially the end of the pasuk says, Kasheleg yalbinu. They will be white like snow. It doesn't say kashelagim yalbinu. So therefore, why is the beginning of the pasuk written in plurality? So the Gemara says, Amar of Yitzhak, Amarim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Im yiyu hata'achem kashanim halalu shesidurot uba'ot meshit shemeh bereshit, ועד עכשיו, כשנג ילבינו. Amazing. The Gemara says, the word kashanim is not referring to red wool only. It's referring to shanim. Shanim means years. אם יהיו חטאיכם כשנים, which is even if your sins are a composite of many years, which means you committed the same sin year after year. Don't think that a sin that was committed so many times and repetitively, there is no teshuvah afterward. God says, "Im yu atachem kasharim alalu," which means just like these years are a composite of many days, one after each other. Even if your sins are like that, like the shanim, as many years as they are, from the beginning of creation, God says, "Am Yisrael has the ability to change their nature and to repent." Hence, kasher de galbinu. Hence, the word shanim is written in plural, because it's discussing the level of the sin, the magnitude of sin. Even if it's as big as all the years, meaning it's been done so many times, still it can be forgiven and whitened like snow. Comes the Gemara and says, Darash Rava. Rava made it. Rashamai dichtiv. What does it say in the pasuk? Where is this pasuk in Yeshaya? Lechu na v'nivakeha. Let us go and let us have a debate or conversation. Yomar Hashem, God will say. Now this is the beginning of the pasuk. Im yiyu hata'achem kashanim kasheleg yalbinu. The Gemara is now making a derasha on the beginning of that pasuk. So the Gemara says, Lechuna, let us go v'nivakeha and have a conversation. Yomar Hashem, Hashem will say. So the Gemara has some discrepancies in this pasuk. Gemara says, number one, Lechuna, bo'una. If you want to talk to somebody, you say, Bona, come, not go. Miva'ele. Yomar Hashem, Amar Hashem Miva'ele. The pasuk shouldn't say God will say, it should say God said. This is something in the past. Gemara says, amazing Gemara. Le'atid lavo, Yomar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. This is actually talking about something that's going to take place in the future. Yomar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God's going to tell Israel, Lechu na etzel avotechem. Why don't you go in front of your forefathers, v'yochichu etchem, and let them. Little yochichu means they should rebuke you. V'yomaru lefanav, and the Jewish people are going to tell the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rebono shel olam. Etzel minelech, who should we go in front of? Which means God says, go in front of your forefathers and they're going to rebuke you. So they say, who should we go in front of? Nelech etzel Avraham. Should we go in front of Avraham? We're not going in front of Avraham. Why? She'amar talo, because you told Avraham, Yadoa teda. You told him that the Jewish people are going to be enslaved in the Eretz Lo Lahem for 400 years. And what was Avraham's reaction? Velo bikesh rachamim alenu. And he didn't pray for us. How do we go in front of Avraham Abinu? We're not going in front of Avraham. He didn't pray for us at the time of the Gezerah. Gemara says, fine. It's Yitzhak. Should we go in front of Yitzhak? Should be Nechet Isav? After all, Yitzhak is the one that blessed Isav. As the Pasuk says, Vayaka Asher Tarid. They don't be Keshtachalim. He didn't pray for us either. Etzel Yaakov? Should we go in front of Yaakov? She'amad lo. When you told Yaakov Abinu, Anochi Eredi Micha Mitzrayma, right? God told Yaakov, I am going to go down to Egypt with you. Va'anochi alcha gam alo. The rabbis imply from the double language that God was telling Yaakov that I'm not going to only be with you in this exile, but alcha gam alo, I'm going to come up with you in the subsequent exile. So God was alluding to Yaakov that there's going to be more than one exile. Ve'lo bikesh rachamim aleinu. And he didn't pray. Yaakov didn't say, God, enough. So the Jewish people said, Etzel mi nelech. So who are we going to go in front of at the day of judgment? So it says, Achshav yomar Hashem. Now God says, Amale kadosh baruch hu, u'il v'talitem asmechem bi. Since you placed your faith in me, did you don't want to go in front of Abraham to admit your sins, nor Yitzhak, nor Yaakov. You trusted that God has the ability to forgive, and God is the only one where one could put his true faith in. So what did God tell them? Because you put your faith in me, God says to the people that he's going to forgive them. That she says on the fourth line, Yomar Hashem, Ata Emor Atochecha, Ubecha Anu Tolim. Which is Bnei Israel said, Yomar Hashem, let God give us the rebuke. Which means they said, Yomar Hashem, God, this is, they were telling Bnei Olam, you should say the rebuke in front of us. You should give us the judgment, because we trust you that it'll come out okay. And God said, you're right, because you trusted me, I am going to clean you up from the sins. Comes Gemara and says, one more piece. What is the pasuk mean in Yeshaya? It says, Ki ata avinu, God, you are our father. Ki Avraham lo yedaanu, Avraham did not know us. Yisrael lo yakiranu, and Yisrael meaning Yaakov did not recognize us. Ata Hashem avinu goalenu me'olam shemecha. God, you are our redeemer. So the Gemara says, La'atid lavo, the future, Yomar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Avraham. God is going to come in front of Avraham Abinu, and he's going to tell Avraham, Banecha hat'uli. Avraham, your children have sinned against me. Amar lefanav Rebono shel Olam. So Avraham is going to tell God, Yimachu al kedushat shemecha. Fine, destroy them. If they sinned, have no mercy on them, let them be destroyed, and that'll be the Kiddush Hashem. As she says, Ho'il shehatu, v'yitkadesh shemcha ba'olam, kishetaseh din be'ovrim abde varecha. God's name is exalted when people see that the sinners get punished. That was Avraham Avinu's advice. So he says, Amar, Iman leli Yaakov. God says, you know what? Let me go to Yaakov Abinu. To have an etzar gidul banim. After all, Yaakov Abinu had a lot of children, so he understands, he's a little more compassionate maybe than Abraham. Abraham only had to raise two children. Yaakov Abinu had to raise many children. Efshad debayir hame alayu. You know, person has many children, so he's more compassionate. Maybe he'll have more mercy on the Jewish people. Amar le, so God says to Yaakov, banecha hatu. Your children have sinned. Amar lefanav Rebono Shelam yimachu al kedushat shemecha. Destroy them. Al kedushat shemecha, and that'll be a sanctification of your name. Amar, so God says, lo besavet arma ve'lo bedardekei etza. We can't find reasoning, not in the elders, and not in the youngsters do we find advice. Meaning, Avraham's the elder, and Yaakov is the so to speak, the young one. Sabeh, the Sabah, like the grandfather, and Darke is the children. Amar lo li Yitzhak. So it comes to Yitzhak Abinu. Banecha hatuli. God says, the children have sinned. Your children have sinned against me. Amar lefanav. So Yitzhak says, Rebono shel Olam, banai velo banecha. What? Now they're my children, they're not your children. B'sha'as shikdimu lefanecha na'aseh l'nishma. Don't you remember, God? When the Jewish people at Sinai said, Na'aseh v'nishma, karat alehem, you called them Beni Bechori. You called the Jewish people my firstborn son.
Achshav banai velo banecha. But now that they sin, so now that my children are not yours. Ve'od, and now Yitzchak goes and makes a very calculated formula to prove how much could they have sinned. Yitzchak says, Kama hatu, how much did they really sin? Kama shenotav shel adam. After all, how many years does an average person live? 70 shana, 70 years? Well, dal eslim delo anash talayu. By the way, you have to take 20 years away, because we have a rule that bet din shel shamayim of heaven doesn't punish people that are less than 20. So what they did the first 20 years, that's whitewashed. Mm-hmm. Fine, so we have how much left? We have 50 years left. Pashilu hamshin. We have 50 years left. The Gemara says, incidentally, they mean you don't get the punishment of karet before the age of 20. Different explanation, but that's just one of them. In any event, dal chafeh deleluta. Well, you have to take away 25 years for the night time. People don't sin during the night time. They're sleeping during the night time. So that's another 25. How much you have left? Pashilu chafeh. So you have 25 years left. Dal talte sare upalga detseluye umechal udbeta kise. You gotta knock off another 12 and a half years for praying time. That's sluye, the tzaliyim, the praying. Umechal, eating time. Udbeta kise. And for going to the bathroom. Seems that these things should take, you know, 6 hours a day. So therefore, you take away, you know, 12 and a half years for these items. So what are you left with? Tarte sare upalga. You have a 12 and a half, at the end of the day, out of 70 years, your maximum is 12 and a half years of sin. God, you can endure 12 and a half years of sin. But if not, im lav, palga alai upalga alecha. We'll split it. We'll split the 12 and a half. Half will go on you, and half will go 6 and 3 months on you, 6 and 3 months on me. We'll split the bill, so to speak. So the Gemara says, V'im tamsel omar kulam alai. And if you're going to tell me, no, you're the father, all the sins of Israel are on you, fine. Hakeribat nafshai kamach. Didn't I sacrifice myself as a korban? So let the fact that I sacrificed myself as a korban, let that be kapara for the sins of Israel. The Amru, at that moment, the Jewish people said about Yitzchak, Ki ata avinu. They said, you're our father. You're the one we can rely on. Not Avraham and not Yaakov. Amalem Yitzchak. So Yitzchak said, no. Ad she'atem mekalsim li. Before you give me all the praise, kalsu l'hakadosh baruch hu. Give the praise to Borei Olam. And it says Yaakov is going to point, I'm sorry, Yitzchak Avinu is going to point to God. He's going to show them the glory of God, and they're going to see it with their eyes. The Jewish people are going to look up and they're going to see the glory of God, and they're going to say, it's not Avraham, it's not Yitzchak, it's not Yaakov. Ki ata Hashem Avinu. God, you are our Father. Goalenu me'olam shemecha, which means you are a redeemer from times past. Comes the Mefarshim, just to explain one interpretation of this Gemara that seems very strange. Avraham Abinu is known to be Isha Chesed. Yitzchak is known to be Midat Adin. It seems reverse. Avraham should be the one that's advocating for Klal Yisrael, and it should be Yitzchak that demands exacting justice. And here we see the exact opposite. So I heard two possible explanations. One explanation might be, is this is exactly exacting justice, which means exacting justice is in everything. Which means Yitzchak Avinu is being very technical over here. No, God, it's not so simple just that they sinned. We have to be exacting now. What type of sin was it? Well, they sleep at night. It's 20 years you have to subtract for this, which means Dean goes with the book. Where's the book? So Yitzchak used the Midat Adin over here in exonerating Klal Yisrael, which is the same Midah that was working. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Alav Hashlom in his Sefer Emet Yaakov, has really a wonderful interpretation. He says a klal, a general rule, that wherever a person excels in life, that's where his test is going to be. Jeez, God is always going to test the tzaddik at his strong point to see exactly if he is l'shem shamayim or not. For example, Avraham Avinu was chesed. Where is Avraham tested? Go sacrifice your son. The antithesis of chesed. Says Rabbi Yaakov, why? Out of all people to be tested to sacrifice his son. So he says, no, he anoten it. That's exactly why. So nobody should think that Avraham's chesed was just because he was, as so to speak, a nice guy. That he was doing it because that was his nature. No. His chesed emanated because that's the will of God. And what's the proof? Because when God told him to be cruel, he shut the chesed off and was cruel. That purifies his midah. That makes his midah true. Yaakov Abinu. His midah was emet. He's the truth. And what is Yaakov told to do? Go in and steal the blessings from your brother. And meet that event and all people. Yaakov Avinu. And the explanation is, yes, you received the prophecy from Shem Ve'Eved that was transmitted to you by your mother Rivka. That's what God wants. But if you're Mr. Emet, just because you can't tell a lie, then you won't be able to do that. Then already your midata emet was not because God wants it. It's because that's your trait. Therefore, Yaakov has to be tested on the reverse. But we don't see anywhere in the Torah where was Yitzhak Avinu tested. Now this event is the test of Yitzhak Avinu, which means his whole midah was what? Midat Adin. Now he sees Avraham abandons. Yaakov abandons. Now Yitzhak is alone, and if it's not going to be him, Klal Yisrael will have no existence. So therefore God seeing, are you going to be Midat Tadin even now, when it's all resting on you? If he's Midat Tadin even at that point, then that means he just couldn't control himself. Then it wasn't coming from a strength of serving God. And therefore this was Yitzhak Aminu's test in order to defend Klal Yisrael. Incidentally, a very simple answer might be that Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu knew that God can't destroy Klal Yisrael. So it really wasn't going against the chesed. That was chesed, which Avraham Avinu says, I killed them, God. Avraham knows that God promised not to destroy Klal Yisrael. So it was almost a bluff. They made sins. Avraham knows that that's not going to happen. That was the chesed of Avraham. He can say that because he knows it'll never happen. But on the contrary, who was the one that asked for Din V'Hashbon? Yitzhak. So the third answer to this question is, comes out Yitzhak really was Midat Adin. Whereas Avraham was saying what? Destroy them. Destroy them means do nothing. Because God's not destroying Klal Yisrael. So therefore that's Avraham's way of saying, can't do anything with them. Yaakov said the same thing. Who was the only one that said, alright, let's make Hashbon? Yitzhak was the one that called for justice. So it comes out that Yitzhak, out of all the avot, he was the one that was asking for midat hadin. So therefore it comes out we have three answers to this question. Comes the Gemara and concludes and says, Amar Rav Chaya bar Abba bar Rav Yohanan, that once we mentioned already Yaakov Abinu going down to Egypt, because God told Yaakov that I'm going to go down with you, I'm going to take you up. So the Gemara gives one list that Hashem regarding that. Really Yaakov Abinu should have went down to Egypt with chains of iron around him. He should have been dragged down to Egypt in a miserable way, then a very difficult way. But what? He had a zechut, and therefore he went down in a very honorable way. Dichtiv, Behavle Adam im Shechem. The Pasuk says, and this Pasuk is in Hosea, the prophet says, I'm going to take them down with the ropes of man, Ba'avotot Ahaba, with straps of love. Ve'yelahem kimni me'ol alechayem ve'at elav ochil. The Mefarshim explain that what were these ropes, or so to speak, Havle Adam, that Yaakov went down to Egypt with? So the Mefashim explained, the ropes are another way of saying the Ketonet Pasim. It was the Ketonet Pasim that he gave Yosef that caused Yaakov Avinu to go down in Egypt. Instead of making chains out of metal, the chains were actually made out of cloth in the forms of the Ketonet Pasim. In any event, Yaakov Avinu earned that zechut to go down in a more comfortable fashion, that his son was the viceroy, and he was able to go down and live in Goshen, instead of having bringing brought down to the exile in chains of iron. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.